to the book of 1 Timothy. We have a special day today, kids. You want to make sure that you guys understand what's going on. Brother Derek just mentioned that today we are using this day to thank God for our pastor. To thank God for our pastor. I don't know if you understand at your little age that the great blessing that it is to have a pastor that fears God, to have a pastor that loves the Lord, to have a pastor that is faithful, and to have a pastor that has through his life exemplified for us the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, that has exemplified his love and care. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ takes very seriously the care of his church. For him, he's passionate about his church. And once that every pastor, every elder, the Bible calls it, will have the same care, the same preoccupation, the same investing in that church. So just so you guys understand what we're doing here, we are setting apart this day to say thank you, Pastor. Say thank you, Lord, for our pastor. And I want you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 5. It is a very well-known verse for us. And I want you to follow along as I read on verse 17. You know, and you might be wondering what a few of the different words that we're going to be using mean. One of the words that you're going to see here today in the Bible is a word honor. How many of you do not know what the word honor means? You say, Brother Alex, I have heard this word, but I do not know what it means. Can I see some hand? It's okay. You're not going to be in trouble. Well, just in case you didn't know, but were too scared to raise your hand, let me give you the definition here, or maybe you are too smart and already know, but let me reaffirm it in your mind. But honor, basically, I look up some definitions, but basically it is to treat somebody with respect or admiration. To show or to give honor to someone is to show admiration, and that in a public way, in a public fashion. To give honor to somebody or something. The Bible is full of this concept. You know that the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 5:16 that we should honor our father and our mother, right? As the Lord thy God hath commanded us. God tells us to honor our father and our mother. Also, the Bible tells us to honor the king or the authorities on 1 Peter 2:17. Also, the Bible tells us to honor all the ministers. And when it says ministers, are the public servants. It says, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. And to render all their duties, to whom honor render honor. And finally, in our text today, we're going to see that God's command, really, is for us, each one of us, to render that due honor or respect or admiration to the elders that rule well. This short message today is called The Double Honor of a good ruler. The double honor of a good ruler. Let's read in verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Double honor. Especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, we're going to read through verse 21. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And the laborer is worthy of his reward. Is a very good illustration there. Because when an animal, an ox, was out plowing in the field, the Bible, God, said, do not put a covering around his mouth. And the purpose of that was that while the oxen were working, they were able to eat along the way. So this hard-working oxen, at the same time that he was plowing through the field, would be able to participate in the very work that it was performing. So, it goes on to say, in verse 18, and laborer is worthy of his reward. So in other words, every worker, no matter what they do, what their office is entitled, is due, supposed to be given his money. That's why they work. We don't work out there and get all muddy and dirty because we particularly enjoy it, but because we are expecting to get paid for it and thus pay for our needs. So, in verse 19 says, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. And let's pray. Father, we are thankful for the opportunity we have to thank you for the pastor that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to honor him this way. Thank you for the hard work that he has put on this church, Lord, and for the hard work that he continues to do, Lord, willingly and for the service of you. We pray that you bless this message, Lord. Help us to understand the importance of honoring, Lord, and paying the honor that is due to him. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of 1 Thessalonians also gives us a little insight of the honor that is due to a pastor. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, and we beseech you, brethren, we plead with you, brothers and sisters, and may that be a reminder to us as the brethren in this church to know them. There should be no doubt in our minds of who that person or those persons are. Those that are laboring or working, that's what the word laboring is, those who are working among you. And are over you. A pastor is over you. And that labor in word and doctrine. And admonish you. The job of a pastor is not just to teach or to be an authority, but also to admonish us. It's important that whenever a pastor comes to us and points something that is not right in our lives. Hey, brother and sister, I think you are not walking as you should. And this is the verse in the Bible that shows us that. And we should be willing to receive that admonishment. Because this admonition is his job. Right? It's his job. That's what he's supposed to do. But back to our verse. Verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Double honor. Especially. So not just the elders in general. Not just the seasoned Christians in our midst. those should be honored, of course. If we have an older, seasoned, experienced Christian in our life, it should be honored. But those who are elders and are involved in the labor of the Word of God, in other words, the preaching, the teaching, and exhortation of in the Bible, and in doctrine, those should be regarded with worthy of double honor. Now, the word double there is a very interesting word. It's derived from another word, Strong's 41:19. In Greek, it's pronounced pleion. Pleion, spelled P-L-E-I-O-N. This word means more in quantity, more in number, more in quality. Now follow along. We're talking about the kind of honor that a servant of God that is both an elder and is also a teacher of the Word of God should receive. So in other words, the honor that he ought to receive is more in quantity, more in number, more in quality, a major portion, and above, to exceed, more excellent, further, greater, longer. All those characteristics is what the word double, then, in its original, is telling us. The honor that this special person, and I know that our pastors have a hard time hearing this, but it is true. Amen? So if anybody should be saying amen, it should be all the rest of us. To agree with the Word of God that this is the right thing to do, the double in quantity, in number, in quality, in portion, exceed, more excellent, and further honor than everybody else in the church. And this is not something that a man established. This is what we're told in the Word of God. So, just to give you an idea of the usage of that double word, in Matthew 5:20 says, "Except your righteousness shall exceed." It's the same word right there. So an honor that exceeds. Also the word more in Matthew 6:25, "You shall put on, is not the life more than meat?" There's the word again. The life more than meat. Translated as double in our text. Matthew 12:41. "Behold, a greater than Jonah is here." The same word. Something denoting that is bigger, greater, and more special, more separate than all the other honors that we're used to. This is the kind of honor that we give to those that teach and our elders. And finally, in the words of Jesus, who said, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." So all those words, exceed, more, greater, they're all the same word. And that gives us a little bit of an idea of what the Apostle Paul is saying here. "Let the elders that rule well." The rule well, the do a good job. And we're going to see what that ruling well entitles. But before that, the word labor. Those that labor in the word and in doctrine. What does it mean to labor? Where the word of God, when it says labor, is not just talking about those that are there, those that have the job. But it really denotes a very, listen to the word. The word there is kopos, or a derivative of that word. And it means, literally, to feel fatigue. To feel fatigue. To work hard. To toil. So, in other words, the honor, or the double, exceeding, greater, and more honor that this man receives is because of all the toil, the fatigue, and the hard work that it involves to be a pastor. And we continue to develop and to explain what this text means. Now, you say, what does it mean to be a pastor? Just to give you an idea. A pastor's desire and heart is for the church to grow. It's for it to get to more people come and understand and listen to the Word of God being preached. More people get saved and see God bless the church. And at the same time, this task that he has, it grows exponentially as the church grows. So in other words, the more he achieves that, the growing of the church, the more that that's achieved, the harder his job gets. And that's a good thing, but it does. On top of that, the pain and the fear that is in the churchgoer, the church member, is weighs heavily on him. So whenever one of us is sad or has difficulties, thankfully we're not on our own. The pastor feels that burden. And that is a good thing. Well, a good thing for us, except for the weight. It is a burden. It is a burden. Thankfully, we have somebody to worry about us, about the matters of the church, our interests, our pain, our difficult times. But it is part of the toil and fatigue involved in a pastor's job. Not to mention the more difficult tasks of discipline, church discipline, of admonishing, and a task that anyone would dread to do. It's not all roses and peachy. But what about the financial resources of the church? Most of us come and give our tithe, and are not even when we see the numbers of the church, we're not really all that involved. Maybe you are, but as a norm, I don't believe you're as involved as the pastor, or you feel it as the pastor does, who is ultimately in charge before the law to be doing well financially, to not go in debt, and so on. But that's not all he has to do. There's even a higher responsibility, a higher burden, and that is to teach the Bible accurately, and not just that, but make sure that everybody who does teach in this pulpit is doing it accurately. And it can be backed up by the scriptures. It is a high calling, but it also a high responsibility. And it ultimately, even when the rest of us preachers do have and share that responsibility, ultimately the pastor is who is going to answer whether or not he pointed out a mistake or not in our preaching. Also, that's not all. Also, he has to protect the church from false teachers from outside. Protect the peace of the church. Protect the financial stewardship of the church. To provide an environment for you and I to mature as Christians. To make sure that he keeps the Christian's diet balanced, to bring in preachers, to make it possible for you and I to grow in our spiritual life, and so on. But that's not all. A pastor's responsibility is to not treat everyone as they are this very exact same person, but also to motivate you to serve the Lord in the way He has called you, to help you discern what you personally are supposed to be doing, to motivate you on your mission, as if you will, whether or not you will be a full-time missionary or minister or whatever, or whether you should be a lay worker or anything else. But that's not all. He provides pastoral care to those in need. He proclaims the gospel to unbelievers. And the list goes on and on. But just to give you an idea of this toil. Now, ideally, and we believe that He does, this work, this hard work, is done happily. That's the goal. That's the goal. That's the idea. And we play a part in this, in fulfilling this task. Now you ask, how do I honor my pastor? How do I honor my pastor? That's what the Word of God says, and well, we should do it. Well, I'm sure you can come up with some ideas, and this is one of the ideas the church had to honor him, and this is not all, but there's a few things planned ahead. But one of the ways that the Bible tells us is obedience. Obedience. The Word of God tells us that we should obey. Obey. Also, the Bible tells us, in this particular text, if you look closely, one of the best ways to honor an elder, a pastor, is to let him be a partaker of the fruits of his labor. Let me say that again. One of the best ways, and is what we see here in the scripture, is to let him, to encourage him, to be a partaker of the fruits of his labor. Now, one of the easiest ways to understand this is that the preachers of the Word of God were supposed to receive some sort of salary or compensation, retribution for their work. And at some point, they should be free, they should be able to be free from a secular job. And so, the apostle tells us that they should be regarded because of that, so that they can fully be involved in their ministry, their teaching, and the doctrine. They should be free from a secular obligations of that sort. And the Apostle Paul says, "Well, am I the only one who's not allowed to not work?" So the implication there is no. The Apostle Paul had proved himself, had proved himself and was working enough that a secular side job would only be a deterrent for the spreading of the gospel. That's the idea. So, one of those ways is to make him be a partaker of the fruits. And that's in general the idea of here. But what I want you to see here is that the more general idea, in the broader sense, what the Bible is telling us here is that the pastor, the elder that rules well, that does a good job, that is a hard worker, should be able to participate in the good fruits that are produced in the church that he's leading. Now, what do you mean, Brother Alex? This is the thing. Well, the monetary aspect of it is obvious. We all know it, understand it. Maybe we should do a better job at it, but that's just one aspect of it. But let me give you a few other ideas. What about letting the pastor know how God has used him to bless your life? That would be bringing him from the outside into the inner circle of, hey, Pastor, since you preached this message, it had this impact in my life, and it had this fruit in my life, and I just want to tell you so that you can rejoice with us. You see that? In other words, don't keep the rewards to yourself. Share them with Him so that He can rejoice with you. Another way we can do this, let Him know about specific ways that a sermon, and I stress specific ways, sometimes we are very vague about our commendations. Pastor, that was great. You know, but what about telling Him specifically how that sermon impacted your life? Galatians 6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. For me, at least, it has a ring to tell him what exactly and how exactly you were benefited by that sermon, by that phrase, by that word. What about letting him know how his walk has impacted your life? One thing is to appreciate what the pastor teaches, and praise the Lord. I think we all have been very helped by the many years of teaching and preaching of Pastor Bond. But what about what he doesn't say? I think many a times he has spoken volumes without saying a word. Because just watching him and learning from him, living, breathing, just being around him has had one of the greatest impacts in my life, and I'm sure many of you. Godliness and sincerity and love for the Lord eventually rubs on you. It should. But what about pointing those aspects to Him? Fourthly, almost every definition of every different dictionary had in some way or fashion the concept of making this honor a public acknowledgement. A public acknowledgement. And that's part of the idea of what the church is trying to do today. Not just make it a personal thing, but an official public acknowledgement. That yes, we agree. We are very thankful for what the Lord has done through your life. In fact, this public acknowledgement, there was some sort of survey among pastors, and one of the things that they said was that this was one of the main motivations, one of the greatest blessings when some of the members, not just face to face, but in front of others, acknowledge. Represented well the pastor publicly. And lastly, and I'm sure you've thought about this, but we can all, in a way, in our own way, return the favor to help, to offer our services. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul when he says in 1 Corinthians 9, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? In other words, what the Apostle Paul is saying, if you understand the great value and benefit that we received from the preaching of the Word of God, that is the spiritual things, it will be very easy for us to, if you will, pay back with carnal things, material things. it won't be hard to do. So, in other words, let me put it even simpler. To do something for pastor will be very easy for us. A material thing, a physical, a tangible thing, will be very easy if we understand the great benefit that we have experienced because of his years of spiritual nourishment, of preaching and teaching. He says, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. A question, answer is no. But lastly, when we talk about obeying, honoring, it's very interesting. The Word of God tells us that ultimately the beneficiaries one more time of this honoring is ourselves. We are not only doing something for the man of God, but in doing so, we are the greatest blessed. We receive the greatest blessing. Listen to what Hebrews 13:17 says. Obey them that have the rule over you, speaking in the context of the church, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul. Here's the first key. It tells us that when we obey and honor the man of God, we help him. We help him. Help him to do what? Help him to watch over our souls. See that? So in helping him, we are receiving ourselves spiritual blessings. And listen to what else it says. As they that must give account. Yes, one day pastor, as he has often said, will give an account to the Lord of how he did with his church. But guess what? You and I can help him. And whatever we do, as far as honoring him, can have an impact on how he does on that day. You see the weight of that, those words? We have a responsibility to help him so that when he faces Jesus, he will do well in that test. Because as you honor your pastor, he is encouraged, he is motivated. Now, if you don't believe me, let's read the whole verse. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. The obedience and honor paid to an elder is one of the greatest motivations so that he does his job well, his difficult job well. So that when he comes to before the Lord Jesus Christ will say to him, well done. The interest that you showed for my church is the kind of interest that I have for my church. These are just some sobering commands. Listen to 1 Peter 5:2. In case it still doesn't sink in, the great responsibility of a pastor. Feed the flock of God, which is among you. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. These are some solemn charges to a pastor. And listen to what else he says in Acts. The writer of Acts says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. I don't know if you can sense the great responsibility that is invested on an overseer, an elder, a pastor. to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He puts the ultimate responsibility, the ultimate charge. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves entering among you, not sparing the flock. This is Acts 20, 28, 29. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So in other words, listen to the weightiness of these words. Listen, pastor. Watch out for your own walk and for the walk of those under you. Be the overseer, but not by constraint, not imposing, but willing, and not by filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Because God purchased it with his own blood. But that text in Acts doesn't end there. It tells us something else. It tells us the relief that a pastor feels at the end of his ministry. It goes on to say, I have not coveted man's silver or gold or apparel. So yes, the Word of God tells us it is imperative, absolutely essential, that a man of God be not covetous. On the other hand, it tells us it is very important that the church will make him a partaker of the fruits. That is our responsibility as a church. But as it were, a faithful of faithful, a righteous of righteous, a saint of another level, and Elijah of pastors. Says at the end of the text that though he had the power and the freedom and the advantages and the privileges of a pastor, of being a partaker of those fruits, he finishes his ministry, as we see in Acts 20:32. And now, brethren, after having said all that, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among you, all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's gold or silver or apparel. Yea, you yourselves, that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. I have showed you all these things, how that soul laboring, ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. Now listen, folks. The Word of God commands us as a church to give the right retribution, compensation to each preacher, to each pastor of the church. But then this man of God says, it's like he doesn't apply the same rules to himself. He steps several steps higher than the average elder. And he says, although I was supposed to, or I was allowed, or I had the privilege to participate in all those things, I forfeited my rights just to show everyone else, just to show everyone else that we all are supposed to work with our own hands. So although he had the privilege and the right to do it, he doesn't. He forfeits that right. To be an even greater good than he would be if he had done it. I don't have to tell you the multifaceted example that Pastor Bond has set to all of us. That when scripturally we ought to reward and reciprocate and compensate his work, it has been on and over the other way around. When he helps, when he encourages, when he lends a hand, and I think you would agree with me that he has put a very high bar. A bar that is so high, and that he didn't have to put it that high, scripturally. Yet there it is. So it is in this, the rest of these words in this chapter, that because of his great example, when he was done, when he was done talking, the church prayed with him, but at the same time they wept sore. Now Paul was leaving at that time, but what I want you to notice is the endearment that that faithful walk had on the church. Sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him into the ship. Listen, folks. I don't know if you understand the blessing it is that he's not going on a ship today. That we're not saying goodbye. That we're done today, and that he, Lord willing, will be there the next Sunday. So I plead with each and every one of us to take these words and the Word of God to heart, and to somehow find in your heart the right way to honor Pastor today. And I know you want to. We have some special things ahead of us, and I don't want to take any more time.
Amen. Our pastor has been a great example. And as we honor him today, one of the things he loves is preaching. So let's have a third message. Mine will be really short and sweet. One of the things the Bible tells us is that a pastor is a shepherd. In fact, pastor is another word for shepherd. It is someone who pastures the sheep, if you will, leads them through pasture. And kids, help me out for a moment. When you think of a shepherd, what are the two first things that come to mind as a shepherd? You don't think of shepherds? Okay, good. They've got sheep. What else do you think of with a shepherd? They have a staff. The two first things you think about when you picture in your mind a shepherd is sheep and a staff. They're a leader of their sheep, and they have a tool, and that's called a staff. And the Bible talks about that. As God talks about pastors, He calls them a shepherd, as they're to lead the sheep of His people. We're to follow God as sheep follow a shepherd. And God does not tell His chosen man to just do what they will, just do their best to try to bring people to God and get them to heaven and lead them through the struggles of life. God gives them tools. Isn't that right, Pastor? It's a good thing, too. If God didn't give us tools, we'd be in sorry shape, wouldn't we? And I want to just really quickly touch on this, that the calling of a shepherd of God's people and the tools that He gives. And you'll see where we're going with it in just a few moments. In Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 4, God talks about placing shepherds. And here he's speaking about over Israel, but he echoes it in the New Testament, calling the pastors shepherds. But in Jeremiah 23 and verse 4, God gives a promise. He said, "I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." God has an idea for His people. And He has a place He wants Christians to go. And God knows that we love to wander. We need leadership. We need, sometimes we need somebody that we can see and hear to steer us in the right way. And God, in His love and care for us, promised He would set up shepherds which shall feed them. And when sheep are listening and following their shepherd, there's a few things that happen, and they're described here in this verse. They shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking. And you see that in a church with a pastor that is being followed by the people. There's, when life brings fear, they can go to a pastor and find comfort, can't they? When life brings dismay, oh man, what am I going to do with this? A pastor can help walk you through it. They will be fed, and they will not be lacking. Now, in a church where the people are just going to do their own thing, you usually find those are the ones that they're lacking, they're fearful, they're dismayed, because they're not being part of the flock. So God sees a purpose, and we do well to follow that purpose. But we also understand from this passage that God sets shepherds. God sets shepherds exactly where He wants them. I firmly believe that God has chosen men, and God has a chosen place for them and a chosen time for them. The Bible's very clear on that. I will set up shepherds over them. John 21, verse 16, Jesus told His disciples, specifically Peter, "Feed My lambs. Feed My sheep." That's a commission that He gave to a pastor. So what is a shepherd? We see from the Bible that a shepherd is a leader. He's a teacher. He's a comforter. Brother Derek shared with us this morning that David was called the light of Israel. Why? He showed the path. He led the people. He was a light. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and follow me." A shepherd, a pastor, is to echo the voice of Christ so that we have another mouthpiece helping us to hear that voice that we are to follow. Titus tells us that a pastor is to maintain and exhort and convince of good doctrine. And a pastor is to do that. They're to maintain good doctrine. They're to exhort those who know good doctrine. Exhorting is, hey, you know this, but come on, do it. That a pastor is to do that. And a pastor is also to convince. You don't agree with good doctrine, the pastor comes along and says, no, this is what the Bible says. This is what God wants you to do. And we are to listen and understand and follow. We're to be teachable. But a shepherd is a leader, a teacher, and a comforter. The Holy Spirit draws all men unto God, and He is called the comforter. A pastor is also given that job as a comforter, and he's by that to draw us to Christ. We're all to draw the lost. The pastor has a little more because that's his full-time job, right? So to draw men to Christ that way, but also to draw the believer. It's not, we all know, if we stop and think about it, it's not enough just to be saved. If we just say, oh, I'm saved, I'm going to go through life and hopefully I'll make it to heaven one day, that's not enough. Then you'll find a lot more fear and dismay than God intends for you. But when the pastor comes along and says, hey, God says this, the Bible shows us this, it teaches us this, He's drawing us closer to Christ where we might find comfort. And I believe God has given us a pastor who has met these qualifications of being a leader, a teacher, and a comforter. And then we look at the staff. A shepherd's staff, it's a tool. Think about it. He uses it to accomplish different things, to herd the sheep, to draw them in, to pull a lamb off the cliff. We all know those pictures. To catch one that's running astray, get the crook around his neck. It's a tool for leading and guiding and correcting the sheep. But it's also defense. We think about how David told Saul that God had helped him against the bear and the lion. What did he use? Well, he used his rod and his sling. It's a weapon for defense. As Brother Alex was just reminding us, that a pastor is often in the front lines of defense of the church. The devil comes at him directly. He comes alongside someone who's having spiritual battles that maybe the rest of the church doesn't know about. But someone calls up the pastor and says, hey, pastor, I need some help here. And he comes and aids in that defense, in that spiritual battle. It is a weapon of defense properly wielded. It is an item of support. Someone leaning upon their staff. You get weary, it's something you can hold on to and rest, take some weight off. It is also, as we think about a staff, it's also a symbol. If you saw somebody in ancient Israel walking down the road carrying a long crooked staff, you knew what that guy did, right? You knew he was he didn't have to have the sheep with him. You knew that, oh, he's a shepherd. Nobody else carried that staff. If you see that staff even today, you don't think, oh, well, there's a construction worker that's a key tool in construction. No, you think, oh, that's a shepherd's staff. It's an identifiable mark. It's a symbol. A staff is only known for that. And we see these things all in the Bible as well. The psalmist said, I'm just, for sake of time, I'm just calling these verses to mind. You all know them, or you should. The psalmist said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What is God's rod and staff? Well, it's His Word, isn't it? And the pastor's to wield God's Word and use it as a tool to comfort and to guide. Many verses tell us about God using His Word to guide us, and also specifically that the pastors, the shepherds, are to use God's Word to guide His people. Also, as Brother Alex mentioned, it is the tool for defense. A pastor is to watch for your souls, for our souls. He stands in the gap. He watches out what's going on, and uses the word to defend, to support, to guide along the way in that way also. And then again, the staff is a symbol. It identifies with Christ. Someone once said, I'm sure actually many people have said, but it's become a popular thing to note that an upside down staff is the form of a what? So one of the kids helped me out here. If you turn a shepherd's staff upside down, what shape is it? Kids? You know what a shepherd's staff looks like, don't you? A J, thank you. And what does J stand for? Jesus. Very good. The staff, as it was for a shepherd in Israel, an identifier that, oh, that man takes care of sheep. The staff in a spiritual shepherd, a pastor, is also an identifier. A pastor should be a man that people can say, there's something different about him. He's been with Jesus. Just like the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the men who knew the Bible, the Old Testament, said of the apostles, these be unlearned and ignorant men, but they have been with Jesus. A pastor ought to have that identifying mark on his life where people can say, yeah, he's a man. Yeah, there's some humanity about him, but he's been with Jesus. And especially as the people of the church, we ought to be able to say, yeah, I can learn a bit more about Jesus. I can learn to follow God more. I can have a closer walk with God because my pastor's been with Jesus. And I've got some problems right now. So I can go talk to my pastor. I can go find some help with my pastor. And I believe that that our pastor has that mark on his life. He's been with Jesus. He shows us the way, doesn't he? I don't know if you know the song, I Saw Jesus in You. We were listening to some music yesterday, and that was on the track, and it came up. And I thought Pastor Bond was one of the ones I thought of. I love that song, and I always go through in my mind different people that have that I could say that to. And our pastor is one of them. I saw Jesus in you. I believe that our pastor has earned a faithful record. And we actually had planned this Pastor Appreciation Day back in, I guess it was March. We had a lot more flourish and ideas and all this kind of stuff, and then you all know how this year has gone. So we thought, well, we need to quick get this happening while Well, we got everybody back in church. So, Pastor, this isn't probably half of what we planned for this day, but we'd planned on doing it around the anniversary of your years of service. And we believe that you have had faithful service for God. There's been ups and downs, sure, but God's given you a staff, and you've wielded it as best as you could with His help. And in commemoration of that, in just to show you honor from this church, we want to give you a real staff today. Get Caleb and Toby, if you'd bring, do you have that handy? I'm going to have them run out. And we have a rod and also a plaque from our church to you that you can hang on a wall or leave in a box if you like. But and if you could come up at this time, and I think I'd also like to get Brother Derek and Brother Alex to come up. Pastor, would you come up? Now, let's come all the way up here, guys, and get it on camera in case anybody's watching and can't be here.